What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you for victory. Oh, and whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Oh, I feel His presence again this morning. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. I don't care if it's in a federal penitentiary. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. I don't care if it's in a hospital room, you're dying with cancer. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. I don't care if you're driving down Interstate 95, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. I don't care if you're in a Baptist church, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. I don't care if you're in a charismatic church, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. What? Liberty. I want to sing a song. This is my testimony to all of you. I don't know if you know it. I don't, probably D, maybe. We'll try that key. I don't know whatever that is. I'm like a musician. I don't play on the notes. I sing in the cracks. Hey, man. It's I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You. Do you know it? All right, play it. Hey, man. That's old song. That's for us old timers. Praise God. And then Set Still, there's another one I want to sing after. I'm going to sing my songs this morning. I'm not a singer, but I make a joyful noise. Amen. I get excited when I think that I'm getting too demonstrative. I go to Psalm 150. Hallelujah. It says, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise. Praise Him with all kinds of musical instruments. And in the end it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I can't play the piano. I can't play an organ. I can't play the drums. I can't play that saxophone. I sat there this morning and I had goosebumps on my goosebumps when I began to feel and hear Holy Ghost saxophone playing. Boots Randolph, get out of the road. Jesus is coming down. Hallelujah. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings in the storehouse above, I'd only ask for one favor of Him beyond mortal end. I know He'll grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with You some glad day when all our trouble and heartache vanished away. We'll enjoy heaven's beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with You. So many places of beauty I'd like to see here below, but time and money, they've kept me from making plans to go. But come that morning or rapture, together we'll surely be. And you can stroll over heaven with me. I want to stroll over heaven with You some glad day. All the trouble and heartache, it's all vanished away. And we'll enjoy heaven's beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with You. So many places of beauty we'd like to see here below, but time and money have kept us from making plans to go. Come that morning or rapture, together we'll surely be. You can stroll over heaven with me. I want to stroll over heaven with You some glad day. All my trouble
all my heartache, it's all vanished away. I will enjoy heaven's beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Praise Him.
I preached my voice out last night. I thank the Lord for my water man that I had last night. I don't know where he is right now, but I needed that drink after church. And I got some more there now. Praise the Lord. I want to sing a song, and this is my testimony. It's because of Calvary. If it wasn't for Calvary, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. If it wasn't for Calvary, you wouldn't be sitting in your seat this morning feeling the presence and the power and the Shekinah of Almighty God. But it's because of Calvary, I'll never be the same again. And once you have been introduced to Calvary and the Christ of Calvary, you're never the same. One way or another, you're never the same. Pray and worship as I sing. I lived a wasted life that had no meaning. I found no joy in anything that I tried, but I saw my life quickly end, and a brand new one began. That's too high. Let's get it down. I lived a wasted life that had no meaning. I found no joy in anything that I tried, but I saw my life quickly end, and a brand new one began. The day I found the cross where Jesus died, and because of Calvary, I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. I found the joy that I never thought could be. He took this life that was shattered with sin, put it together once again. Oh, what a change there's been because of Calvary. Now when my heart is sad, I grow so weary, I journey in my mind back to Calvary. Think of it. And I kneel beneath the blood's flow that washes white as snow, and I find new strength awaiting there for me. And because of Calvary, I'll never be the same again. I found the joy that I never thought could ever be. He took this life shattered with sin. He put it together once again. And oh, what a change there's been, because of Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Sing it. Oh, yes, till my trophies at last I lay down. I'm going to cling. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know who's here. We sing a chorus up home. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch him. Jesus is here right now. Only believe. Jesus is here right now. Ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is here right now. Won't you receive? He's here. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just asked the pastor, and I want you to know he is my pastor while I'm here. Amen. I just want to know if you had a certain time to get out. I've heard preachers say that you can preach as long as you want to, but we leave at noon. Oh, I love the Lord. I feel His presence. I thank the Lord for what He has done. I thank the Lord for the privilege of being here. And I do deem it a privilege. I don't think my life will be the same. I don't think my wife's life will be the same. When we go back to the woods, amen, and back into the country, pastor our little group of country folk that's going to be big country folk one day, amen, amen. I expect within 2 or 3 years in our property, we're going to have a camp meeting. And you all are invited. Amen. Come and have some good Canadian country hospitality. Feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. I'm thankful for what He has done. I am thankful for the men of God that He has called. I appreciate Brother Rutledge. I feel a kindred spirit with this man. Amen. He has the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. He don't want the well-watered plains. He wants the rough mountains. Amen. The waters come from the mountains. The slobs down the valley, all they do is get the runoff from the mountain folk. God's looking for some mountain men. Well, I understand as you farther down south you go and you get in the mountains of Tennessee and Virginia and all them places, there's some rough and tumble mountain men. Sooner fight me. God is looking for some people that would sooner fight spiritual enemies than eat. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn with me in the Word of God. I don't know if I'm going to teach or preach or treat this morning. But we're going to do something. Oh God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, I love to entertain His presence, don't you? He's here right now. He is here. And I'm thankful that He is here. Without Him, I wouldn't be nothing. If I didn't think the Lord was going to be with me this morning, I wouldn't have left my seat. In fact, I wouldn't have left the motel room. I told the Lord at about 4:30 this morning, I said, God, I need You again today. I'm no preacher. I am no teacher. I am nothing without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The world has got their theologians, and they have those that can expound the Word, and they can talk so pretty, and they can talk so great. They parade by the prophet saying, is this the one You anoint? Is this the one You anoint? But oh no, there's one more little ruddy-faced boy out on the backside tending sheep. God isn't looking for the muscle man. God is looking for the small guys tending the small flock saying, that's the one I want to anoint. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I feel like somebody's going to run a marathon. Oh, hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. I have several scriptures to read. I've asked Brother Dwayne to help me. And I need somebody else to find John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Whoever feels the Holy Ghost, grab it. When I get you to read, I mean read. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, notice that. Ruler of the synagogue. Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, speaking of Jesus, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Notice how this man was speaking. Notice how he was speaking. Verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I hope I can get out of me what I'm feeling in me. Amen. And he suffered him. And he suffered no man to follow him save those that truly believed. That's why he only took Peter, James, and John. That's why he only took Peter, James, and John. Say, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah, and of Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. My thought this morning is this. The man with the toolbox. The man with the toolbox. Father in heaven, we bow in your divine and holy presence. I am thankful that you are here with us today. I am thankful that you are with us, that you're our ever-present help, that you're our God, that you're our rock, that you're our refuge, that you're our standard. Yes, I love you, Jesus. And I thank you for your anointing this morning. Give us liberty in the Holy Ghost. Help us receive of thy word in Jesus' name. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands one more time to the Lord. Praise God. A man with the toolbox. You know, a while ago, I took the brainwave that I was going to remodel some in our house. I was going to build a family room and another bedroom in our basement. And my ever faithful and believing wife said, "Don't you think we should hire a carpenter?" See, I'm not a carpenter. I bought a hammer here a while ago, and I had to take it back, but they wouldn't take it. And they asked me why I wanted to bring it back. I said, "This hammer don't work right. Every time I go to hit a nail, it hits 2 inches off to the left. It wouldn't hit on. And it wasn't a hammer at all. It was me. I'm not a Mr. Fix-It. I can't do a whole lot. But I know somebody." I said, "I know somebody. I know somebody. I know somebody. He can fix everything." So I went and I bought some material I figured in my mind and did my mathematical calculation and ordered so much sheetrock and ordered so much flooring and I ordered so many tube of fours and I ordered so many pounds of nails and I ordered so many pounds of spikes. And I got all this material and I began to build. And I put my studs every 16 inch on the center and put a floor down and put the sheetrock on. And well, to make a long story short, I made a fairly nice job of that mess that was in the basement. The wall, it's an old house. The walls are crooked. The cement's 2 inches thicker at the top than it is at the bottom. And I had the walls all standing in. I looked down one wall before I began to sheetrock and I said, "That wall don't look right. It was leaning off." So I grabbed the level and I put the level on the tube before and sure enough was out. So I measured again. I said, "I got 144 inches at the top and I got 144 inches at the bottom, but something is wrong." So I said, "Well, let's go over this wall." We go over this wall and we put the level on. And sure enough, you can see where the concrete was thicker and it was just out of line. So I had to adjust. You know what I'm trying to say? The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And a lot of people take that scripture and try to make the gospel fit them. But friend, the gospel don't fit you. You fit the gospel. I could have stood there and said, "I got 144 inches at the top and I got 144 inches at the bottom." The room would still be crooked. But I had to make some adjustments. This story that we read to you about this man, a ruler of the synagogue. A few years ago, several years ago, probably 35 years ago now or 40 years ago, my dad was pastoring a little church in a place called Millville. He was sitting in his home one day and a knock came on the door and it was a lady from the church, tears running down her face. She said, "Brother Priest, will you come down to the doctor's office, please? My son is deathly sick. He got into some kind of poison." And when he went down, he walked into Dr. Jewett's office. And my dad knew old Dr. Jewett, an old family practitioner. He walked in and he took Dad into his office and he shook his head. They were trying to find the pulse. They put their hand on the neck. They couldn't find no pulse. Then finally old Doc Jewett rolled up the eye and he took his finger and he thumped on his eyeball. And there wasn't a wince. There wasn't a movement. He turned around and said, "He's gone." My dad said, "I just pushed the doctor aside and laid my hand on that little boy's head and said, 'Lord, I dedicated Vince to you a few years ago, and now I know that you're able to raise him up.'" Amen. And the doctor saw some movement and he rolled his eye back up again and thumped on the little fellow, screamed out. The doctor said, "Well, he won't know nothing for another 24 hours because he's been out so long." My dad reached in his pocket and pulled out a quarter and said, "Vince, would you like a cone of ice cream?" Now here was a kid that didn't know nothing. Said, "I sure would. Come on, Mom. Let's go. I want you to know the man with the toolbox walked in the room." We're going to confound the rulers of synagogues with our ministry. Hello? I said we're going to confound the rulers of the synagogues with our ministry. God is going to call Himself a people. A special breed. People that know the Master Carpenter. People that have been apprentices and sit at His feet and are learning the trade of how to operate in the manifestation of the Spirit of God with the Spirit of love. Here was this man, a ruler in the synagogue, one of the elite of his society, one of the elite of the religious organization of his day. But when he found out that his religion failed him, he turned to a higher power. He turned to a higher source. He came and he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, Now you notice, he had probably talked to all the preachers of his day. Now, can I use my imagination here a little bit and read between the scripture lines? He had probably talked to all the preachers of his day. And he talked to them and listened to them, and here his daughter was dying. In desperation, he said, "I have tried everything. I have tried all your programs. I have tried all your ideas. Now I'm going to turn to the man with the toolbox." Everybody considered Jesus Christ just a carpenter. Apparently he did a little carpenter work. They seen him as a little boy trotting behind Joseph down the streets of Nazareth carrying Daddy's toolbox. Lugging on it. Passing Daddy the square. Passing Daddy the level. Passing Daddy the saw. Passing Daddy the hammer. But that was not really his daddy. He was saying, "I'm just preparing to do some master carpentry on some broken, twisted up, bent, out of shape, warped souls." Now he was fixing to do some carpenter work. You know, in carpentry is not always building up. Hello? Sometimes a carpenter has to tear something down before he can remodel it. Jesus was on a mission of destruction this day before he could restore. The man with the toolbox was walking down the road. And while he was going to Jairus' house, the lady with the issue of blood came along. Fixed her. Stopped and talked to her. And then somebody said, "Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead." I want you to know, when man gives up, God takes over. What we consider miracles aren't miracles to God. They're just everyday occurrences with Him. I said that a miracle to God, what we consider as a miracle, is not a miracle to God. It's just an everyday occurrence with Him. He's just doing His thing. He's having fun. They said, "Don't bother." And the Lord said, "I don't pay no attention to him. Let's go to your house."
No need to be in Norwich, Connecticut. It's dead. Somebody's been there before. Somebody's went through and left the gospel before. It's dead. But I know the man with the toolbox. You don't need to be in Stamford, Connecticut. It's dead. You're a fool. You're crazy. You're a reprobate. You're a devil. They're dead. Don't bother the master with your problem about wanting revival. Just go someplace and be complacent and be content. Now, come on, Peter, James, John, believers, we're going to see what the carpenter can do. I can almost imagine in my mind what Peter and John and James were thinking. What's the Lord going to do today? Because just a while ago, He said, let's go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they went, He left a multitude. He left the organizational structure of all the people and said, come on, boys, we're going for a little trip. And they crossed the sea. And in the midst of the sea, a storm arose. And He was asleep in the back of the boat. I don't care if Jesus is asleep. As long as He's on board my ship, it ain't going to go down. That's how much confidence I have in the man with the toolbox. Hallelujah. 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 They walked across or came across the sea and they stepped out of the boat and the first person to meet him was a devil. A man that had 2,000 spirits in him. And he come out of the tombs a screaming and a crying. He said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of David? Leave us alone. Here was a man that was foaming at the mouth, living in a graveyard, cutting himself with stones. They tried to bind him. They tried to subdue him, but nothing would work. Nothing seemed to cause this man to have a peace. But I want you to know, when the Prince of Peace walks on the scene, we used to sing a chorus up home, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. He'll take your broken heart and make it whole. And when the storms of life are blowing low, He will calm the troubled waters, the dark troubled waters of your soul. And I want you to know, I know the man of Galilee. Hallelujah. The man with the toolbox. He said, well, what tool do I need here? And he took out the tool of his power, the authority of his name. And he began to rebuke that devil in that man. And they come out of him. And he said, what's your name? People say, oh, we don't need a name. We don't need a name. It's not important to have a name. Yeah. I've never seen a mother come out of the hospital and a father after the birth of a child. They say, what's your baby's name? Oh, we didn't name. We just call him Hey You. Hey You. Ah, that's my son John. That's my son. He has my name. You see, he said, devil, what's your name? He said, I'm Legion, because there were many. He said, well, Legion, it's time to come out. Time to come out. Take a step out of there. Come on. They came out, went at the herd of swine, went over the cliff. You know the story. The people of the town came out so upset. Here was a man that was just disrupting everything that they had ever done. Caused them a lot of heartache and caused them a lot of grief. And now they were upset because they lost a bunch of pigs. They would sooner have their pigs and wallow in the mire of self-pity and wallow in the mire of their own self-righteousness than to have the freedom and the power and the liberty of the man with the toolbox. They came. The people were going through their motions. Have you ever been in a place, walked through the doors and took your seat, and they begin to say, let's worship the Lord, and they begin to go through their motion? They praise God with their mouth, but where was their heart? The Lord said, I hate that kind. He said, you praise me with your lips and your mouth and your hands, but your heart is far from me. Oh God, never let me get in the place where my heart is far from you. I always want to feel your heartbeat, God. I want to see the man with the toolbox. I'm not satisfied with what God is doing. I would love to see in this place today, even after we leave here this afternoon, that there would be such a Shekinah of the presence of God in this place that people, as they drove up and down by these streets, would walk in here. And when we came back to church tonight, there would be sinners sitting on the seat with tears running down their face. He took the believers. He went to the house and they was going through their commotion there, too, having their weeping and their wailing, going through the calamity of mourning. We have a lot of spiritual mourners around today. But my Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. And he entered in. He took his believers. And he took two non-believers. Not really non-believers, but they didn't really believe what he was saying.
I don't know if that's electricity or the Holy Ghost.
Amen. He went in the house and he spoke to her and he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. But I believe the key to the rising of this girl's body from death was what Daddy said when he first came to Jesus. He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay hands on her that she may be healed. He knew everything else had failed. But he knew somebody and heard about somebody. There's another story in the Word of God found in John chapter 8. Woman caught the very act of adultery. She did not know this man with the toolbox. She did not know how that he could revitalize, change, transform her life. Jesus had taught on the Mount of Olives just previous to this. He said early in the morning, he went to the temple. And all the people came to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. And in the midst of his teaching, when he was teaching something that people had never knew, they had never heard about the resurrection and the life. They had never heard about a power that they could have shortly down the road. They never heard about if you eat my body and drink my blood, you become a part of me. They couldn't comprehend, but they were wanting to listen to this teacher. And while he was teaching these people these things, the old Pharisees began to trot in, and they had this lady right by the ear. And they brought her in and stood her. She was so embarrassed. She was so ashamed. She was so humiliated. Caught in the very act of immorality. And they said, we'll get him now. And they straightened their pharisaical robes around them and they put their hair back and they give their whiskers a little rub and they said, Moses and the law says that she should be stoned. This book says, can I say it? Can I say it? The Jewish manual says that she should be put to death. But what do you say? They got a lot of rules and regulations. They got a lot of power in the pages of their book, or so they think. But I know what the Word of God says. All Scripture was given by the inspiration of God, not the manual. They figured they had him. They figured, we got him now. He can't get outside the law. Oh, but they did not know that that was the law, wrote in flesh. They did not know that that was the author of the law looking at them. The lawbreaker was on the scene. I said the lawbreaker was on the scene. He who wrote the law and said you're going to die for doing this. He said, I'm going to show him a higher power. I'm going to just relate to her on a higher degree. And I'm going to show her my love and my mercy. And he began to write down on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. He might have begun to write their names. They probably been with her themselves. They began to write names. And the Bible says from the eldest or the youngest to the eldest, they all left. Now, if they said all they were going to say about their religion and about their laws and about what Moses had said they should do, what happened? Somebody read verse 10. Stop right there. Woman, where are your accusers? I want you to know, when you fall, and you fail, and you slip, and you take a tumble, and they begin to accuse you, and the enemy comes in like a flood, and he begins to say all manner about you, I want you to know, you can go to the man with the toolbox and say, oh God, I know I have failed you, but I not need condemn. I need your conviction. I need your power. I need your spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Where are they? The ones that were pointing the finger. The ones that were saying all manner of things. Ha! They just get introduced to the man with the toolbox. Hallelujah! What this world needs, is the revelation of the man with the toolbox. He can take the drunkard. As I said the other day, we got an ex-drug addict dope pusher sitting on our front seat. Nobody had ever talked to Eddie Davidson about the love of God. He's too far gone. There's a constant flow of traffic to his house 24 hours a day. 13 years he peddled dope and never got caught. I said, Eddie, you must have been pretty smart. And he looked at me and said, no, Brother Priest, I wasn't smart. God loved me. I said, how could God love a sinner? Then I realized, for God so loved the world that he gave. I am convinced that God just said, okay, I see down the road he's going to give his heart to me. I'm going to just put my hand of protection on him. The cops drove up and down that road continually. They could never catch him. Never catch him. Why? Because the man with the toolbox has begun to build a hedge. Build a hedge around him. All right. Verse 11. And she said, read.
No man, Lord.
Who? Who? No man, Lord. But I thought there was a whole bunch of men condemning you. No man, Lord. I want you to know when God gets done working and gets done building and gets done remodeling, no man. No man can point their finger. You know what he said? Well, they don't condemn you. Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Psalm 61. Oh, let this one get a holy. Let this one get a holy. Begin to read.
Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer.
Listen.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee.
Okay, hold. Hear my cry. Oh, God. I need you. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. I'm hungry. Hear my cry. Now, I'm not going to hear you. My ear is deaf to you. No. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. Read.
When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher.
Okay. When everything is overwhelming me, when I'm being drowned, when I'm being pushed down, when I don't feel your presence, when I don't feel your anointing, when I don't feel your love, I'm still going to walk with you because you're going to lead me to the rock. You're going to lead me to the man with the toolbox. You're going to lead me to that safe refuge. You're my shelter. You're my strength. You're my God. You're my counselor. I'm going to be led to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard. Oh, my mark of identification, the power of the blood is going to come a surging down through me, and I'm going to be overwhelmed, not by the things of the world, but by the Spirit of God, and I will be protected. Read.
For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And I will abide in thy tabernacle forever.
Remember what I said last night? God did not want to dwell in a tabernacle made with hands. And David was not. Hallelujah. David was not talking about a fancy building. He said, I'm going to abide in your tabernacle. Lord, I'm going to abide in your Spirit. I'm going to abide in your power forever. Hallelujah. Read. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That word covert means the thickest place where the feathers of the wings are. Do you remember the story? Did you ever hear the story about the little prairie hen and the prairie fire sweeping down over? And she began to call all her little chicks together. And she hid them under her wings. Put them under her wings and hid them there, and the fire went over. It killed the mother prairie hen. But when they picked the old dead mother hen up, all the little chicks come running out. God, when the fires and the adversaries of the world come at me, I'm going to run to you because you're the man with the toolbox. You can fix anything. Raise up your wings and let me hide in the covert of your wings so that I can be protected. Think of the benefits we have. The world says they have their benefits. Yeah, drink a Budweiser and you begin to feel good. Oh, you used to go to the dances. Any of you fellows ever used to go to dances? You remember you'd walk in, the music would be playing. And you'd go up to the bar and you'd get a drink. You stand there with that gin and tonic in your hand thinking you're so nice and proper and cool. And you would sit. Oh, that's good. Oh, that would warm you all the way down to here. Oh, good. That's powerful stuff. The music would begin to play and that begin to get into your bloodstream and you begin to tap your foot, or I used to anyway. I'd go back to the bar and I'd get myself another double and I'd slop that down, and next thing I'd know, I'd have four or five of those under my belt and I'd be out on the dance floor just going at it. I want you to know it's the same and serve with the Lord. You walk into the dance hall. Amen. And they begin to sing about the power of the blood. You say, well, I guess I better go to the bar and have me a single. You walk up and you say, Mr. Bartender, give me a little single of the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You get that one little drink and you take a sip. Boy, that song you told begin to tap. They begin to sing, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. And the more you drink, the more freedom you got. And all of a sudden, you was a dancing in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is your strength. Read that last verse. Thou hast given me an heritage. See, when we become acquainted with the man with the toolbox, we get a heritage. We have a heritage. What is our heritage? Abraham, what was your heritage? Oh, I was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. What's your heritage, preacher? I'm looking for a people that's hungry and thirsty for righteousness. That is my heritage. And I want you to know this morning, when we get introduced to the man with the toolbox, he will do everything just right. Can we stand? Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise Him. Oh, I praise You, Jesus. I praise You, Jesus. I praise You, Lord. I praise You, God. I praise You. Let's clap our hands one more time to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The carpenter is here. He's more than a carpenter. He's more than a man. Praise God. Inside that veil of human flesh, the mighty Word of God, the mighty God of heaven. Amen. Today, there is human flesh in this place. But the mighty God is also here. Praise God. The Word of God is in you. You have just heard the Word of God. Amen. Would you let it manifest itself in your flesh? Praise God. Would you let the Word come forth? Would you let the Word that you have just heard fix things that are broken in your life? Amen. While we bow our head and close our eyes. Amen. If you came here and you needed some help from God, you have just heard a message from the Lord that says, there's a man with a toolbox here and he has everything in it that you need. Hallelujah. Sometimes we work on jobs and we don't have everything that we need when we get there and we have to go back and find another tool. Today, everything that's needed for your need is here. Praise God. He doesn't have to go looking for something to fix your soul. He has what it takes today. While we're looking to the Lord, is there somebody that would raise your hand and say, I need God to work on my life today. I need help. Amen. There's one, two, three, four, five. So many, I've lost count. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God understands. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. All of you who desire prayer today, would you just come and line up across the front here? You desire prayer and you want us to pray with you. Amen. And you want to pray and talk to this master carpenter. This master carpenter. Hallelujah. Just come and line up here and let's pray. Praise the name of Jesus. Let us pray together. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. All of you who are walking with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Amen. Would you just kind of come toward the front and get up here as close as you can? Amen. And you just bring what God has given you. Amen. And why don't we just be here as Jesus does the work? Amen. Let's be like an apprentice to the carpenter today. Amen. Lord, do you need my praise? Here I am to praise you. Lord, do you need me to give an encouraging word? Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. I'll carry the water. Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. Let's all just gather in and let's just talk to Jesus. Let's make ourselves available. Praise God. Let Him fix what's wrong with you. Hallelujah. Let Him fix what's wrong with you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're able to mend the broken pieces. Put back that has been taken away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we need your help. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one, Lord, who's able to do the things that we cannot do for ourselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, if you have to break us to make us, go ahead and break us, Lord. Lord, destroy whatever you need to destroy and keep it in your hands until you put it back together in the proper way. Hallelujah. Lord, let us be soft in your hands. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for these that have come forward in response to this invitation. Lord, that every one of them will find the satisfying portion of God. Satisfy the need of every longing soul in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Lord that we have felt, we are feeling. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things of God that we know. Hallelujah. Help us to not become like those who try to rule over the house of God. But let us be one who is able to come to you and speak, Lord, and say, have your own will. Not my will, but thine be done. Help us, Lord, to throw away our rule books. Follow the word of God. Hallelujah. And help us, Lord, to be raised up as a tool, Lord, to show the truth in the pathway of others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. He healed my feet, now I walk. He loosed my tongue, now I talk. He touched my eyes, now I see. He supplies all my needs. He'll be your father, father, mother, mother, sister, sister, brother. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. Well, he healed my feet. Now I walk. He loosed my tongue. Now I talk. He touched my eyes, now I see. He supplies all my needs. He'll be your father, mother, sister, sister, brother. Oh, he's everything. is everything to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are surrounded by life's many struggles, and there are valleys that we must go through. God will deliver us from all of our troubles. It is amazing what God can do. Look up, and lift up your eyes. You've got a right to be happy. Oh, let us rejoice, rejoice. Don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Oh, look up, and lift up your eyes. You've got a right to be happy. Oh, let us rejoice, rejoice. Don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Well, when you're in trouble, don't be discouraged. We have a God who really cares for you. Hold to His hand.